help me to be an encourager. Raise your hand if you do not need that help. Raise your hand if you do not need any help at all in being an encourager. Okay. Apparently no husband is brave enough to raise his hand sitting next to his wife. What does it mean to you to be an encourager? What does that mean? If you're going to encourage somebody, what does it mean? What did you say, Freddie? You uplift them. Judy? Say that again. Catch them doing good. What do you do when you catch them doing good? Compliment them. Somebody write this stuff down. This is good stuff. Sue, what'd you say?
Positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement. You encourage them. You reinforce them positively. So is negative reinforcement, is that not encouragement? You ever negatively reinforced your children? Trying to encourage them not to do something again? Not sure what that means. What does it mean to you? For you to encourage someone or to someone to encourage you, what's involved in that?
Communication.
Communication?
A big smile and shake their hand.
A big smile and shake their hand. Anybody ever seen Joan Holloway smile before? What'd you say, Freddie?
Love.
Is that involved? Wes? Compliment?
Uplift.
Okay. A big hug. So we've gone from a smile and a handshake to a hug. All right. We want to talk about the holy kiss. Anybody want to talk about a holy kiss? We hug each other, don't we?
Yes.
Is that encouraging when you get a hug?
Sure.
Brenda? Trudy Holland could teach this lesson. That is an encouraging thing to say. Trudy is a big encourager. Lily?
That was encouraging, right?
Yes, it was. I thought it was. Does it take humility to be an encourager? Lord, help me to be an encourager. If you were to define what it means to encourage, here's how the English dictionary partially defines it. I've changed some of the words so they could all be a C. To encourage means that you give somebody courage. That's obvious because it's in the word. You encourage them. You encourage your friends. You encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. You encourage your children. You are giving them courage to do something, to say something, to stand up for something. You're giving them confidence. You're uplifting them. You're motivating them, giving them the confidence to go and do that which they know they need to do. What are you doing when you're encouraging someone? You're giving them comfort. Do people who are in need of comfort, are they in need of encouragement? By the way, as we're going to see throughout this study, the New Testament uses the word comfort and the word encourager interchangeably. It's the same word. In the Greek language, it's the same word to talk about comforting and encouraging. To encourage means to give cheer with a smile and a handshake and a hug. Does that make you feel good when somebody encourages you? Does it cheer you up? Is it only people who are down and out who need encouragement? Is it only people who have lost their job who need encouragement? Is it only... Can we categorize and put into some group over here that, well, these are really the only people who need encouragement from me? Can you do that? The Bible says, and we're going to get into this because obviously this is the theme of this series. The Bible says, encourage one another. It's the responsibility that Christians have. It's one of those one another passages that indicates that it's a two-way street and everyone needs to be doing it to everyone else. Who's involved in encouraging one another? Everybody's involved in that. Well, nobody's encouraging me. Nobody said anything nice to me. Nobody's given me a hug or a handshake or a smile. So I'm not going to do it back. Until I get my encouragement bank filled up by these other people, I'm not making any withdrawals and I'm not giving anything out until they start making some deposits. Does that work? You've tried it, haven't you? It doesn't work. God commands us to be encouragers. Does that come naturally for everyone? Why not? Why didn't God just stick that little gem right into us? Why doesn't that come naturally for everybody? It requires being observant. That's a very observant comment to make. Sometimes we live our lives and all we can see is what's right there that is in front of us that we want to see, and sometimes we're not very observant about other people and what's happening in their lives. Dan? You can't be self-centered and be an encourager. I mean, you might encourage yourself, build yourself up, give yourself these compliments and uplifting comments. And that's helpful to a point, a very short point. Who had done? Yeah. When you are an encourager, is that encouraging even to you? Why is that? Why is it that when you encourage someone, it in turn, they don't have to do anything in turn, but it in turn encourages you? Trudy? It makes you feel good that you made them feel good. Why? I mean, you are fulfilling what God has told us to do, what He has made us to do. And when we fulfill what God has told us to do, should there be a sense of satisfaction? Should there be a sense of joy in knowing that we have obeyed what God said and we have made a difference? Doug, are you going to say something? God gave us the power of choice. We can choose to keep it, Doug says. We can choose to give it away. And so we have to make the choice to encourage somebody, to be an encourager, to step out and to say something, to do something. And when we make that choice, sometimes it makes a little difference, sometimes it makes a big difference, but it always makes a difference. Lily?
Through confidence in Him.
Mm-hmm.
He is our encourager.
And Lily's jumping ahead, so I'm not going to repeat what she said because she's jumping ahead. So I'm going to repeat what she said in about 4.5 minutes. So here's the Greek definition. If you look up the word encourage in an English concordance and you try to find the Greek word, it's a Greek word that we don't care about Greek words sometimes, but the Greek word is parakaleo. A compound word, you take the word para, that means beside, like parallel, it means beside. So you have the Greek word para that means beside, and then you got the Greek word kaleo, to call. To encourage someone literally means that you call them to your side. So what that means, encouragement is something that's personal. It's something that takes personal effort. That you call someone to your side to do some of these things, to urge them, to appeal to them, to exhort and encourage them, to instill within someone. This is the Greek definition from a Greek lexicon. Notice how it compares with the English definition. To instill someone with courage, cheer, or comfort. It's what we're trying to give to them. It's what they need. And our responsibility, what is, the noun form of that is paraklesis, from which we get the word, the English word paraclete. We don't use that word very much. What is a paraclete in English? What is a paraclete? Anybody know? Huh? It's a little bird. It's a little bird, yes. That is true. And you can buy those little birds at Mike Erickson's pet shop. but it probably doesn't have an L in it. They might be a parakeet instead of a paraclete. What is a paraclete? It's two cleats. When the soccer player runs out on the field, what's he wearing? A paraclete. Duh. It's not one. That it wouldn't be very well equipped if he only had one cleat. Paraclete. It's like an attorney. That was a serious answer in case you didn't notice. Is an attorney, is a go-between, is an intercessor. When I am an encourager, I am a, by definition, a go-between, an intercessor, an attorney. Well, who am I going between? We're going to get to that in a minute. Who am I going between? My responsibility, God says, is to encourage. Call someone alongside, figuratively. To put your arm around them, to smile, to shake, to hug, to call, to send a card, in order to uplift them, in order to motivate them. All the words that you have said. To what end? What's our goal out there? Just to be able to check it off, okay, encourage somebody today, what's next? Forgive one another? Nope, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I mean, is it just we're going down a list of things we have to do? To what end? What's our goal out there? Heaven is our goal. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 while Bill makes his comment. Go to Hebrews chapter 10.
Well,
yep.
He just talked to
me. Yep. Bill is also jumping ahead in our study, but Bill is one of our advanced students. He's jumping ahead to our next study, not tonight. He's already talking about our next study, not next week because I'm out of town. Bill is 2 weeks ahead of everybody else in here. 2 weeks from tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. So here's what I want you to do. Here's your assignment for 2 weeks from tonight. Come up with ways in which Jesus was an encourager. You can't have Bill's. He's already mentioned Jesus and the woman at the well. You can't have that one. You got to come up with something else. But how was Jesus an encourager? How was Jesus an encourager? That's your assignment for 2 weeks from tonight. Got Hebrews chapter 10, Linnell. That's right. Sometimes the greatest encouragement is not to feel alone, Linnell says. So sometimes it's just, it is standing beside them and whatever needs that they have. And that's the personal nature of it. That's the reassurance that that person has that they are not alone. But yet in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul said, no one stood with me except who? Do we know that part? No one stood, everybody abandoned me, but was Paul by himself? No, the Lord was with him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Hebrews chapter 10, and then I want us to get into what Lily said in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another. There's another one another verse. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're going to talk about that this quarter. Is coming together in the assembly to worship God. Is there any encouragement that's involved in that? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting. Guess what exhorting is another word for? Encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Been a lot of discussion about what is that day that the writer was talking about. It makes sense to think that he's talking about the day of the Lord's coming. Encourage one another. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, and he says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. We've got today. We need to encourage each other. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming. That's our goal. That's our end. We are trying to get ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. Are there some who are struggling and may not be ready for the coming of the Lord? Do they need our encouragement? Are there some who are downcast, down and out, they're depressed? Do they need our encouragement? There's all sorts of categories that we can make. But here's what I want us to see tonight. Before we talk about Jesus being an encourager, tonight I want us to talk about our great example of God as an encourager. I want you to think back through your knowledge of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Were there any occasions when God did any encouraging? Any times when God tried to encourage His people to do something or encourage a person along the way? Here's some verses that I want us to see tonight. Just look at these briefly. But here's some passages from the New Testament, and then I'm going to jump to the Old Testament. Here's some passages from the New Testament. Notice what they call God. Taking that Greek word, parakaleo, that's the verb for encourage, to comfort, to exhort. And then the noun paraklesis, which is the encourager or the encouragement. Look at what it says about God. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. God gives encouragement. Did you know that? The old King James says He's the God of comfort or the God of encouragement. What does that mean? New American Standard has it. God gives. Sounds like it's a gift. Sounds like He's just going to hand it to you. God is a God who gives comfort. Why does He do that? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And a book that talks about God as an encourager more than anything else is 2 Corinthians, especially chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6 talks about God who comforts. God who parakaleo. He calls to alongside. He's there standing beside us to encourage. That's who He is. And so what does He do? He is God who comforts and encourages, and He's comforting and encouraging us. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's the passage I want us to focus on just for the next couple minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul begins this letter, and he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be who? Y'all with me? 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies. Think about that statement. The God of mercies, plural. How many mercies do you need? And God of how much, parakaleo? Every bit of it. God is the God of all comfort or all encouragement. What does that mean? He's the source of it. Romans 15, He gives encouragement. He is the God of all comfort, encouragement. What does He do? Verse 4. He comforts us in our tribulation. Look in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, that's the Greek noun, parakalesis, also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, were the Christians in the first century afflicted? Verse 6. Were they suffering? Verse 5. Were they partakers of the sufferings? Verse 7. Yes. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your encouragement, consolation, comfort, parakalesis. That's what it's for. And for your salvation, which is effective, for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. We suffer in order that you might be encouraged to endure your sufferings. Or, if we are, parakaleo, if we are encouraged, if we are comforted, it is for your parakalesis, your encouragement, your consolation, your comfort and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you, the Christians in Corinth, are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, of which we are also partakers, so also, if you're suffering with us, you will also partake of the parakalesis, the encouragement, the comfort. How did this start? With God, who is the God of all comfort and encouragement. God is the God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who has loved us and given us an everlasting encouragement. It's not limited. He gives us an everlasting encouragement and good hope by His grace, encouraging our hearts. Well, look back, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look back at verse 4. When we're going to have a study this quarter on, Lord, help me to be an encourager. Why do we start by looking at God as our encourager? Look in verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4. God comforts us in our tribulation. What's the word you have after that? That. He comforts us in our tribulation. God comforts us that. Here's the purpose. Here's the reason. Here's the result that comes from that. That we may be able to parakaleo. God encourages us that we might be able to parakaleo, encourage, comfort those who are in any trouble. What do we know about encouraging? What do we know about comfort? What do we know about podokalesis? We are going to comfort others who are in any trouble. What are we going to comfort them with, the rest of verse 4? To comfort them who are in any trouble with the comfort, with the encourager, with the podokalesis, with which we ourselves are podokaleo, encouraged, comforted by God. How can you and I encourage one another without first recognizing that it starts with God? How can we properly recognize our responsibility to encourage one another without recognizing that it all starts with God? Has anything that God has ever done been encouraging to you? Has God ever done anything that has brought encouragement into your life? Every Christian is saying yes. Has God, as a child of God, has God ever brought another child of God into your life that brought you encouragement? Has God ever done that? Where did that child of God get that encouragement to give to you? Oh, well, God had brought another child of God into that child of God's life to come. Well, where did that child of God know how to comfort this one so that they could come and encourage you? Oh, well, there was another child of God that God brought into that one's life to encourage them that they might turn. How do we know how to encourage each other? Because God has put us into a family. And everybody in the family needs encouragement. Do moms and dads ever need encouragement? Or are they just, you know, are they just on cruise control and they're just fine? Nobody needs to encourage mom and dad. Do they need encouragement? Does your husband or wife need encouragement? Do your children need encouragement? Does your grandchild Mason need encouragement? My guess is that the encouragement that Mason is going to receive, and probably already has, is going to be in the form of an auburn shirt. And shoes. And hat. Sorry. And mouthpiece. Got the mouth guard. All right. What is that? Well, that's an act of love. That is an encouragement that if you want to live in this family, there are some rules. We encourage in different ways. But in a family, we all need encouragement. And have you ever been in that situation where you knew somebody needed encouragement, but you just didn't know what to do? You knew they were hurting, but you just didn't know what to say. And you thought, if I say the wrong thing, I could make this worse. So maybe the easiest thing to do is just kind of keep my distance and not do anything. When we keep our distance and we don't do anything, isn't it interesting that the word encouragement means to be called alongside? Keeping our distance, and I'm not talking physical distance, but keeping our distance because we don't want to say the wrong thing is not encouraging. I'll say more about that. Richard, go ahead. It is. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 is a manifestation and is an act of that encouragement. To do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We're going to talk this quarter and try to get as practical as we can about what are some things that I can do, I can say, not just talking theory, you know, about, you know, here's what we need to do. What can I do? right now. You remember the appreciograms that we've done a couple times over the last few years? That is a tool by which we have been able to encourage, parakaleo, one another. And there are a thousand ways to accomplish that same thing. I got a lot of people with their hands up. I think it was Dirk and then Don and somebody's over here. Dirk? The two concepts, Dirk asked, how does that differ from edification? The two concepts are sometimes used synonymously and are sometimes used differently. For example, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Don, go ahead and make your comment. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. When those angels, after Jesus was tempted, when those angels came and ministered unto Christ, what were they doing? Was that a form of encouragement? It was. And just one passage, Dirk, for you to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, talks about those who prophesy, and this is in the context of those spiritual gifts. But he who prophesies, what does he do? He speaks edification, he speaks exhortation, and he speaks encouragement, comfort, parakaleo, to men. There's one place where God separates the concepts into three different distinct categories, and yet sometimes those concepts are merged into one, like we saw in Hebrews chapter 10, where sometimes the idea of exhortation is used in the same sense as encouragement. Sometimes they're used differently, and sometimes they're used interchangeably, so you just have to look at the context to kind of determine that. Go ahead. Yes, verse 12. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let these spiritual gifts be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And that's not, that word there is not the word parakaleo that's used to draw near. That's the word that means to build up. Somebody had their hand up on this side. Wes?
So we are encouraged to encourage.
We are definitely encouraged to encourage. Judy? Yes, and it is. Judy says, and she's always thought about edification as involving some kind of teaching, whereas that's not necessarily involved in comfort and in encouragement, and that is true. I was going to look at a passage over in 1 Timothy, but that is true where. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, edification, and to doctrine. And obviously all of that is involved in the reading and the teaching of the Word of God. So was he also encouraged to be an encourager? Yes, but so there is a line that can be drawn. Sometimes that line is merged and is encompassed in the same context, but God definitely says there's a matter of edification where we build up, and sometimes that it does involve instruction in order to build someone up, and in other times there's a matter of comfort and encouragement that's needed. Here's what I want us to do. We have what, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? Good, we have about 20 minutes left. Now, what I want us to do is... it was mentioned and I kind of let it go while I was, but when you think about God as an encourager and you take this definition, these definitions that we've given for encouragement, that encouragement means that somebody is giving courage, giving confidence, giving comfort, giving cheer. Has God ever done that? And I thought about trying to pick different examples from all over the Bible. But I want us to use one example tonight, and we only have a couple minutes to do this. But you may want to write these scriptures down. Go back in your Old Testaments to the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. And we're going to look at stuff real fast here. So flip those pages. But I want you to see God as an encourager. Moses is about ready to die. Was that encouraging? Not to many people. That was not an encouraging event. God, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, comes to Moses. And look at what he says. God says to Moses, who then says to the people. God says to the people of Israel, Look in we'll just jump to verse 6. Be strong and of good what? Courage. Does that mean that God's encouraging them when he says to be of good courage? Be strong and of good courage. You're about ready to go in this land, but guess what? Your leader is going to die. Oh, that's not good. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. What's part of the definition of encouraging? To give courage. What's the opposite of courage? Fear. God says, don't fear. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. Is that encouraging? To know that you're going into battle, and Moses may be dead, but it doesn't matter if God raises up Mickey Mouse to be your leader. God is the one who goes before you. Is God going to take care of them? Should that have been a note of encouragement? God will not leave you or forsake you. Then, verse 7, Moses called Joshua. And what did he say to Joshua in verse 7? Boy, this sounds like a repeat. Be strong and of good courage. God encouraged the people. Then God turned around and encouraged Joshua at the same time to have courage to go and to fulfill the task that God was giving to him. Look in Joshua chapter 1, where you see this repeated, these words repeated again. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Joshua, no man is going to be able to stand before you. Is that courage? Don't be afraid. Have courage. Nobody's going to be able to. If God be for us, who can be against us? Should that give us courage as Christians? Did God give Joshua confidence in his task? Go and read, and we won't look at it tonight, but go and read what happens in Joshua chapter 3 and in Joshua chapter 6. Do you think this gave Joshua encouragement when Joshua came to the Jordan River and they crossed on dry ground? Did that give him confidence? The Lord is with me. I just crossed Jordan River on dry ground. When you march around the city of Jericho 13 times and the walls fall down, does that give you confidence that God can do anything? God gave Joshua encouragement to be about his business by giving him the courage, by giving him the confidence that he's with him and nothing can be done against him, by comforting him. You remember when Achan stole all of that stuff from Jericho, and now God's people are defeated at the little city of Ai, and Joshua tears his clothing and he's in a period of remorse and of anguish, and God comes on the scene and God takes care of it. He brings comfort. Does God bring cheer? What was Joshua able to do? Lead God's people into conquering the entire promised land. How much was left out? How much did Joshua, was he not a part of in the conquest? The Bible says that God gave him everything that he had promised. Would that just make your day? To see at your hand the fulfillment of the second promise made to Abraham? Would that cheer you up? God is with me. God is the great encourager. And if the story of Joshua doesn't get it for you, what about some of these verses? Is Psalm 23 an encouraging passage from God? Is Isaiah 41:10 one of my favorites? Fear not, for I am with thee. What about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6? This is a word, it's a different word than the word parakaleo, but I'll close with this. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, God is my helper. If I'm going to be an encourager, I need God to be my helper, because he is the great encourager. And with God as my helper, I can become an encourager of my brethren. Hope you'll be here on Wednesday nights this quarter. Dan Fuller will be teaching next week, but we'll pick up with this. Remember your assignment for 2 weeks from tonight. Come up with a list of ideas. How did Jesus encourage people?